your Lord and Savior as we participate in this act together. You say, well, how do I do that, Pastor? You call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. As a matter of fact, let's pray this together. I'll lead you all in prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin because I'm a sinner. I make you the Lord of my life. I thank you for your sacrifice and your generous gift. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, you are forgiven. You are on your way to heaven today. Matter of fact, let me just say this. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you just came back to Christ, you know you haven't been living for God. I've got some information I want to give you. Because of that, I want you to just lift your hand where you're sitting and say, Pastor, I just prayed that and I meant it. Anybody? Lift your hand up. I want to give you some information. We've all prayed that before. We're all born again. We're all saved. Know that you're on your way to heaven. That's awesome. Awesome. All right. Let's take this together. Jesus said, after he'd given thanks, he broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Whatever lack you have, potential lack in your life, remember Jesus had his body broken so that you and I could be whole. Let's receive the Lord tonight. In the same manner, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take this together. Let me pray over you. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of God's Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Life Church. Would you take a moment and greet someone today? Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good to see everybody today. Real quickly before we get into this morning's message, just a couple of quick announcements. One, I want to remind you this coming Wednesday, we have a baptism service planned. If you have not been water baptized since you believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we encourage you to sign up at the Information Center and really be water baptized. The Bible commands us to be water baptized. Now, water baptism does not save you. It's believing on the name of Jesus Christ. But every time we do something that's asked of us, or commanded of us, I should say, in Scripture, listen, when we believe and act, God answers supernaturally. And I just love water baptism services. We get an opportunity to be able to pray over people, prophesy over people. Every time we do this, it is a wonderful, wonderful service. We're going to have a lot of music. We're going to worship. We're going to pray with one another. We're going to baptize some people. If you would like to be water baptized, if you've had a change and Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life, excuse me, and you have not been water baptized since that change, I encourage you to be water baptized. Oh, I got to get a drink here. I got a little bit of Jesus caught in my throat here. All right. No, really, it's a bit of that cracker. I mean, no, you can't get too much Jesus, all right? But sign up for that, participate, come out on a Wednesday and help us with that. The other thing I wanted to talk about is last week we kicked off our second year of participating in something we're calling The Church Has Left the Building. Now, last year we put together over 160 bags filled with items for children that were going through foster care transition. This year we're doing the same type of thing, but just a little bit different. And what we've got is a whole table set up out in the foyer. I encourage you to go out there after service, take time, decide what it is that you want to help get for kids. We're helping infants and babies and also young adults who have gone through the foster care program and are now in college and just need some encouragement. We're putting together a little, what we're calling test time packages or boxes for those in college. And it's got different items in there. It's got erasers, pencils, candy, gum, granola bars, maybe a little coffee card, you know, get a little Starbucks when you're studying for exams, little things like that. You can do that. That's one way. The other thing you can do is you can purchase some items to help them in their dorm, like refrigerators, microwaves. I had a woman last service say, hey, we've got a microwave at home. We never use it. It's in great working condition. Could I bring that? I said, absolutely. Okay, now if you're going to bring something that you're already using, make sure it works, okay? Don't just get rid of it so you can go buy the latest, greatest new one. If you're going to buy a late, great new one, buy them that one. And you keep using the one that you hardly ever use. Okay. Boy, that'll challenge you as a Christian, won't it? But we just encourage you, take a look at the list. We've got baby monitors, cribs, toddler beds, gift cards for formula, baby wipes, door alarms, car seats, all kinds of stuff. And what we're asking you to do is decide. You can pick an item, and they range anywhere from $5 to $170 each item. So it gives it a wide range within anybody's budget, we believe. And what you do is you take these cards that we provided. One card you take, and if you're going to do the boxes that I first mentioned for test time, you take this card, and then you turn it in with the little card with your name, address, how many boxes you want to provide, and you tear off the small section, and you keep that here for us. You put it in the basket out there. Take the other item home, and that tells you what you need to buy and fill that box. And then you bring that box back on April 21st. Say April. April. Say 21st. When do we bring it back? April. All right. Okay, we get to think in church. That's something new, huh? All right. But April 21st, it's a Sunday, absolutely. And so then we've also got this other one. If you want to get something for dorm needs or something for the infants, then what we're asking you to do is on the large portion here, you can write the item that you want to provide or items or multiple or whatever you want to do. Take the small half, put that in the basket. Take the larger half. That reminds you at home what it is you need to purchase. We just want to keep track of items that have already been purchased. That's why we need you to turn in the card. But you turn in the card, and then you bring it to church when? You're good. You are good. And so we've got a gentleman who owns a trucking company in our congregation, and he's going to provide a truck. We'll have it out here in the boulevard out here out front, and we're going to take all those items, turn them in after service, and then we're going to need a few of you. We'll ask for volunteers between now and then to follow us over in that truck over to DHS, a drop-off spot that they've got at their offices, and then take those items and unload them there and be a blessing for the church has left the building. So participate. I'll tell you, I love to get 100% participation. If you don't have a card, if you don't have an item, we encourage you to slip out after service and take a look at the items we've got at the table. All right. Well, this morning we want to continue our series that we've been on for quite a few weeks now, almost 2 months really, that's titled Supernatural. And we are learning really what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ and to walk in the power that Jesus has given us. Understand something. The church is not a building. Most of us probably know that, but so many people live that way. And we're so used to saying, hey, I'll meet you at church, and that's okay. But the church is not a building. It's not a social club. We do have relationships in church, but it's not a social club. It's not just a place that meets the needs of the poor. Certainly we do that, but that's not what the church is. The church is a movement. Say movement. And really, it's a supernatural movement moving through the body, if you will, of Christ, which is the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's you and I working together. Now, over the next few weeks, of course, next Sunday is Easter, so we've got a special message for Easter. We encourage you, invite someone to church next week, bring them out on Easter. But the week after that, we'll pick up this series, and we're going to really spend some time starting to talk about not only the fruits of the Spirit, but the gifts of God's Spirit, and realizing that every single one of us are called into full-time ministry. Every one of us, regardless of your vocation, as the Church of Jesus Christ, is called to be a light in a dark place and to let your light shine. And so we've been spending a lot of time talking about what the Word says and really looking at what we're calling core values or a belief system of what you and I need to believe if we're going to live a supernatural life. Mark 6:17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, as if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, these signs shall follow you. Say me. All right? Those who believe. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, and told us in John 14, 12, that we would do greater works than even he did. We've been looking at the fact that we're citizens in heaven. And what we are is citizens who are bringing the kingdom laws and principles here to this world. We're ambassadors, the Bible calls us, in another place. And it tells us in Ephesians 1:14 that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guarantee, or really a down payment, it says in one translation. And so Holy Spirit really is what brings these gifts and fruit through our lives as we humble ourselves and continue to walk in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we've been looking at core values, understanding that God causes things to work for my good. You need to realize that. We need to realize that God loves us, and not only that he loves us, but he loved us first. And if he loves us first, then we have a responsibility to share that love. We need to realize that fear is not part of God's kingdom. Again, you can get all of these online and get caught up to where we are today. But God has nothing but welfare and blessing for my life. We need to believe that if we're going to live a supernatural life. We've got to believe we're special, that we're holy, and that we're a chosen prize possession. We need to believe that we are to overpower and overcome any evil against us. We need to believe the devil is evil, but God is good. How many know? You say, good God, bad devil. That is really good doctrine. You need to understand that. We need to continually encourage one another and remind ourselves that God has nothing but good. We also need to believe that God is our friend and that he tells us his secrets. Listen, you and I need to do as much as we can, in fact, everything that we can, to pursue our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to be your best friend. Your best friend. Now, Trish and I have been married coming up on 25 years here in May, and we are just so excited what God has done through our lives. And Trish is really my best friend. But you know that both of us are closer to Jesus than we are each other? I mean, there's times we need a break from each other. Come on, somebody. You do, because Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. As a Christian, the greatest thing that you and I can do, and what most Christians fail to do, is to really nurture their relationship with Jesus Christ. He's always available. Now, reading our Bible is extremely important, but it's more than reading the Word. It's learning how to hear his voice and allowing him to be your friend and taking time to spend with him. What do? Friends hang out, right? Friends spend time together. Friends talk about issues together. Friends work out things together. And so much of the church really does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We pray a prayer, and then we come to church for our lives. And that's it. That's what most people think the church is. That is not what the church of Jesus Christ is. The church is a relationship that God has with us, his spirit flowing through us as we reach out. And in the place you work, the place you go to school, the people that we influence, we are supposed to be reaching out and touching the world for the kingdom of God. Now, today I want to talk a little bit about the fruits of God's spirit, which really are essential in us living a supernatural life. Number 11, what we want to talk about is that we inherited God's divine nature, which grows in us through the gifts of the Spirit. It's not something we strive for, but that he works in us through relationship. Again, it's a relationship. It's not something we, it's like I'm going to love more, I'm going to be more patient, I'm going to be kinder. Now, it's okay to think that way, but that is not what this is. It's drawing near to God, working on a relationship with him, spending time in his presence in personal worship, personal prayer time, personal study time, and then just hanging out with him. There's nothing wrong with taking time and just go hang out with the Lord. Go for a drive alone and just pray and spend time with him. Galatians 5:22, it says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says, here there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desire of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Notice he says we're following Holy Spirit's leading. It's not something we make happen. It's something that he produces in us. It's extremely important to understand that, because as we start to talk about the gifts of his Spirit 2 weeks from today, we need to realize it's not something that we just produce. It's not something that we make happen. It's something that he flows through us. Now, we opened up our altars here this morning, and really our altar time has two purposes. One is to pray for one another and get our needs met. The other thing is really for us to realize what we're supposed to be doing for those we come in contact with. You say, well, I don't know how to pray for people. Then come down front and get prayed for. Join the altar team. We can use your help. Let us know. Say, I'd love to pray for people. We'll spend time with you. We'll help you with that. Take notes in church. Get involved in a small group. Yesterday we had women. The women meet at the guys meet first at 8 o'clock Saturday mornings. Women meet at 10 o'clock. We've got small groups meeting in people's homes on Friday evenings. We've got Celebrate Recovery that meets on Thursday evenings. Come to church on Wednesdays when you can. And just take notes and learn what the Bible is teaching us about being the church. If you need prayer, come down front, get some prayer. Learn how to pray for one another. But then those gifts of God's Spirit that flow, I mean, you come down here, someone's going to have a word of wisdom for you, a word of knowledge, and we'll spend more time on that in a couple of weeks. But if you want to know how to flow in those gifts, get involved in the life of the body. Get involved and learn how to flow in those gifts. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the fruit of God's Spirit, love. We just talked about it. And love really is a love that reaches out to others. You know, you cannot be selfish and live in the kingdom of heaven. You cannot live a supernatural life if we are self-consumed. And that's why it's so important for us to be involved in things. That's why, you know, some people say, well, why do you take an offering every service? To get your money. No, that's what some people think. No, we take an offering because it helps break the spirit of poverty. And it really helps break the spirit of selfishness off our lives. Because we're saying, look, I am going to give something that I have that I potentially need to help somebody else. Hear the gospel, help to feed the poor, whatever. Help to do things in the body of Christ. But love is something that reaches out to other people. And if you don't love people, you're going to have a hard time reaching others for the gospel of Christ. And sometimes we need to realize and remind ourselves why God called us into this. Remember, he loved us first so that we could love him and love others. How about joy? The joy that God gives us is joy in the midst of a trial. No matter what you're facing, God wants to impart and give you joy that is way beyond your circumstance changing. I mean, so many of us, what we do is say, well, I'll get joy when this trial is over. Is that what we think? Well, listen, that is really just comfort is all that is. You're comfortable because the trial is over, and then you're uncomfortable when the next trial comes. But joy is something that you get from spending time in the presence of God. All right, you show me a Christian who doesn't have joy consistently, and I'll show you a Christian who doesn't spend time in the presence of God. We shouldn't be living like this. We should have joy that keeps us through every trial, every circumstance. And that only comes through spending time with him. This isn't something we can get by coming to church services only. This is something we get by spending time in his presence. How about peace? Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not peace like the world gives. Again, it's in the midst of a trial. He gives us peace. You know, you can be going through the roughest thing you ever faced and have an abundance of peace and joy. You really can. You really can. When you know Jesus, because now you understand some of these principles, these core values we've been talking about, that God only has good things for me, never bad things. And so if I'm going through something that's potentially bad, I know that it is the devil trying to wreck my life and that God has a plan that is way, way, way better than what I'm going through right now. And so we continue to understand that the joy of God is growing on the inside of us and it's strengthening us. It's leading us, guiding us, giving us peace. How about patience? We love patience. But you know, patience is a great way for you and I to strengthen our relationship with God. So what do you mean, Pastor? If we're going through something, trial, circumstance, patience really, the Bible says, has her perfect work in us. And so we can either spend time when we're going through a trial thinking about how much this sucks. Come on, somebody. Because that's what we do. This is terrible. I don't like this. God, what are you trying to do to me? We can think about that, or we can allow patience to have her perfect work. How do you do that? By drawing near to God and letting your relationship with him get richer and deeper. And you say, this trial ain't nothing. You just kind of shake it off. It's like water off a duck's back, somebody once said. You know what? And so you realize that patience has a work in us. How about kindness? A life that considers others. Some of us could use some help with that. Amen. Goodness. Without expectation or manipulation. You know, Am I really sincerely caring about people? Am I doing good because God is leading me to do good for other people? Or am I expecting a return only? See, if our motives are, boy, you know, I'll do this because I'll get something. Well, we need to allow God to work in us, his fruit, his goodness. How about faithfulness to God and to others? Well, first of all, we need to really realize and really believe that God is faithful. It's hard for us to really live a faithful lifestyle if we don't believe that God is faithful. If we believe that he's faithful, we know that we can live faithful. And even if we're faithless, we know that he cannot deny himself, the Bible tells us, because he remains faithful. But it's really built on his faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faithfulness is really a fruit of God's Spirit through the relationship that we have with him, that regardless of the trial that I'm going through, regardless of the circumstance, I know that I can be faithful because God is faithful to me. How about gentleness, not arrogant, boastful, or rude? David once said in Psalms that the gentleness of the Lord has made him great. The gentleness of the Lord made him great. You know, the Lord knows how to be gentle with us, but firm. And when we're in his presence and when we draw near to him, we learn how to hear that voice of correction. No one can correct like the Lord. He can bring a strong word, but you know he loves you. And when you're in a relationship, you understand those things. Just this week, the Lord really just challenged me about some of my motives. Motives. And you know, how many know it's okay to have task lists and it's okay to have goals and all that, and we should. But sometimes we get so caught up in those goals, we forget the first time the Lord spoke to us. I had forgotten when the Lord had called me to pastor, and I got so caught up in things, got so caught up in goals and all these things that I just really try not to get caught up. But how many know you just can? You know, life has this way of doing that to you. But you just got to snap yourself out of it and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And draw near to him and allow him to start to work in your life the gentleness that only he can. And he told me, he said, Tony, your priorities are wrong. And you know what? You get right back in relationship with him just like that. But when you're not accustomed to that, you can just keep living your life in the wrong direction for years and years and years, and then you look back and say, what just happened? All right? So it's really important that we nurture our relationship with the Lord. How about self-control? A life that is led by God's Spirit has control over the flesh. See, I really believe that when my life is controlled by the Spirit of God, I am producing fruits of that Spirit. It's not just practicing a principle. I believe it's having a relationship with him. When we're just practicing a principle, that is religion. And that is really not what we're talking about today. I want to read a scripture. It's not in my notes, but we can get it up on the screen there. It's John 15, 1. John 15, New King James Version. Verse 1, Jesus says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. All right? Now, if you want to bear more fruit, let the Lord prune you. Now, we could be on either side of this at any given time. All right? It says here that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Now, being taken away and pruning can be a little bit uncomfortable or painful, if you will. All right? But if you're being pruned, you're going to bear fruit. All right? I have times, the Lord is in a regular habit of pruning me. All right? There's things in my life that I need correction, and he's pruning, and I'm bearing more fruit. I can have something I'm going through, the Lord is dealing with me on something, and I still have fruit being produced in my life. Now, some of you can really attest to that and bear witness. But if we continually are like beating our heads against the wall, it's like, no progress, no progress, no progress, no progress, no progress. That's not pruning. That's cut off, all right? And that doesn't mean you can't get into God's presence. It doesn't mean you're not right with God. It just means you're not getting what he wants to show you. How do you find that out? You press in and you spend time with him. You spend time in his presence. If you're just not getting anywhere. Remember, we started off this year with a fast. All right, remember, it was more than just fasting. It was teaching as a principle. If you're feeling that way, fast this week. Take some time with the Lord. Let the Lord come and say, hey, there's some things in your life that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. Those are taking time away from me, and they're taking time away from you being in my presence. And when we hear his correction like that, boy, we can be real quick to get back into his presence, and he starts to prune us, and we bear more fruit. Verse 3, listen what it says. This is important. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You need to realize when he's pruning you, when he's helping you grow, it's about the work that he has done. It's about his grace. We're clean because of the word he has spoken to us. This is not something we strive for on our own to produce fruit, but we strive to spend time in his presence to hear his voice and allow him to work through us. It is quite different because you can see people that are just full of good works, but they don't even know God. There are people who don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ who do good things. How many ever met some? So it's not just about doing good stuff. It's about knowing the creator of the universe. Verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me, neither can you unless you abide in me. So if you want to abide the kind of fruit that God wants to have in your life, or if you want to produce the kind of fruit that God has for your life, you need to abide in him. It doesn't come any other way. It doesn't come, like, you could take the notes of what I'm preaching today and you can write down goodness, faithfulness, patience, kindness, love. You could write all that down, and this week you could get up and say, okay, I'm going to do these this week. And you might do okay for a while. You might even get 2 weeks if you're really good. Maybe a month. I don't know. If you go a month, you probably aren't around a whole lot of people. No. But if you press into spending time with him, if you say, today, Lord, I want to spend time with you. If you get up in the morning and just say, Lord, today I want to hear your voice. I want to love on you today. I want to learn from you today. And then you allow him to bring correction, and you allow him to speak to you, and allow him, and just hang out with him, and just be a friend to him because he's your friend. I'm going to tell you what, he's going to start to produce these things. And before you know it, your life is going to change, and you're going to look more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That doesn't sound like a good life, does it? He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. And again, he's showing us here that the principles are based on God's word. But understand, it's based on his word for the fact that he has done it. Listen, you didn't write the word of God. He wrote the word of God. And his word is power. It says that in the beginning, there was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus, the word, Father God, they're all one. And so when you're spending time in God's presence, how many know he's going to speak his word to you? It's good to meditate on the word of God. We talked a little bit on Wednesday about it. We need to have the literal word and the prophetic word. The literal word and the prophetic word. Prophetic word really comes through relationship. It's God giving direction specifically for our lives. Now, this can come a lot of different ways. It can come when you're sitting in a service like this and someone is preaching. I could be preaching today and the Spirit of God is speaking something to you prophetically, something that is life-giving for a situation that you're facing, something personal for you, all right, as we get into the Word of God. It can come when you're spending time with him. He can just prophetically start to speak to you. It can come when someone's praying for you and someone can have a prophetic utterance for you. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all the gifts of the Spirit, which we'll spend more time on in a couple of weeks. But you need the literal word. What's the literal word? That's when you read the Bible. So you've got the prophetic word, and God speaks to you and says, okay, I want you to move in this direction for your life. But then you need the literal word to help you while you're on your journey to keep you on course. How many know what I'm talking about? And so, because you're not going to get a prophetic word every single day. God's going to give you some instruction. He's going to tell you, hey, I want you to go in this way. This is what I'm believing you're going to see there. And you start going that way, but it could be some time before you realize the fullness of what he spoke to you. And you need the literal word to keep you on track. And then you continue to build your relationship with him and continue to build your relationship with him. It's growing through relationship with him. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter 1:4. He says, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, God's divine nature is growing on the inside of us. It says, escape the world and the corruption that is in it through lust. Again, we're applying these principles that we've been talking about for the past few weeks. Listen, in the kingdom of heaven, there is no lack. There's just love and abundance, not fear, not lack. So when we know that our needs are met, then we know that God is working his divine nature on the inside of us. Because we're going to live one of two different ways. We're either going to live resting in his divine nature and our relationship with him, or we're going to be busy running after everything that this world has to offer. Jesus tells a parable, and we don't have time to turn there today, but you can read it for yourself in Mark chapter 4. And he talks about the parable of the sower, all right? And the thing is, he talks about how some falls on stony ground, all right? Some falls on good soil. There's three different types of soil that he describes there. And so the thing is, what kind of fruit am I producing is about what I'm doing with the soil. So the seed is sowed. Do I have good soil in my life? Is he producing a harvest in my life? And one of the things he talks about is the cares of this world can actually choke the word. And so many times we can get caught up in the cares of this world and pursuing the wrong things or the trial that we're facing. Or maybe there can be something as simple as unforgiveness. Boy, the Lord really dealt with that first service. You know, really just some unforgiveness and relationship issues. And if that's you this service, you know, there's things that can really, whenever something is clouding your vision, if that's all you think about, you are missing the kingdom of God. You're missing your relationship with the Lord Jesus. All right. Well, we're going to stop there this morning. And please join us in 2 weeks when we continue that series. But we really want to encourage you to come out and join us next Sunday for Easter. Invite someone to service. We've got some great music planned. We've got some videos we're going to show with some songs. And we've got a great Easter message. All right. If you're here this morning and you're a first-time guest, we want to welcome you. And we've got something.